listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Several weeks ago, I started talking about how to survive something, and that something grew into weeks of how to survive different things in your relationship. And I didn't mean to. It was an accidental series. But today we wrap up that accidental series with kind of a piece that maybe pulls a lot of that together. This wrap-up is how to survive disconnection. If you're not familiar with my theory, disconnection is the heart of almost every marriage crisis. Many times throughout the week, I get emails from people who are saying, hey, if this is the case, is there anything that can be done? They'll name something, and it's usually about some item of personality from one person or the other. You know, if I'm married to somebody who's depressed, or if I'm married to somebody who's anxious, or if I'm anxious, or if I'm depressed, or if we're far apart, or you know, if there has been infidelity, and then name off thing after thing after thing. And my response is always, my program is going after the underlying issue of the relationship. We can address the underlying problem of the relationship, and that doesn't mean that there's nothing else to do. There may still need to be something done about the depression, the anxiety, the infidelity, and lots of other things. But then we get down to the root of the relationship issue. And the relationship issue is often that place of disconnection. So last week, I talked about how to survive an empty nest and how to survive a midlife crisis. And if you remember that empty nest crisis is caused because there's disconnection between the two. Or when we talked before that about conflict, remember that that's also a part of that. So this is why it pulls together those pieces. Let's just talk about that piece by piece. Conflict is a natural part of two people being in close proximity to each other. You're just not going to agree on everything. And that's what leads to how you move and grow forward. If everybody agreed on everything, nothing new, nothing creative is happening. As I've said to many times in a business, when two partners are in conflict and they say, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't be in business if we're in conflict. And my response is, if both of you are 100% an agreement about everything, one of you is not needed here. And it's the same in a relationship. We need that creative energy. The question is, how we do the conflict? And the problem is, when there is disconnection, the conflict is amplified. In fact, the things that are conflictual, just kind of those places where we do battle on a daily basis, when there's a lot of connection, they tend to die down. And so a conflict can be either painful or helpful depending on how much connection is there. Or how about infidelity? I've talked about this before, so just a quick repeat. If you want to, you can check out my other podcasts about infidelity, but there are a couple of roots of the typical infidelity. One is disconnection, and two is a lack of boundaries. What fuels the need for reaching out to somebody else is often because the need for connection hasn't been met within the relationship. We are all wired for connection. We need that connection. We crave that connection. That's part of what's in our nature, in our DNA as humans. And it's the bonding that happens between parent and child that allows us to bond later on with friends and then finally with a spouse. And so part of what's happening when there's infidelity is the connection has dropped to the level that somebody is seeking it elsewhere because they don't have the boundaries in place to protect the disconnected relationship until the connection can be rebuilt. And so part of the infidelity is because of that disconnection. Midlife empty nest, again, it doesn't have to be a crisis. Many people go through empty nest as a couple, and they can miss their kids, and they can miss the parenting role, but they stand together in that because of the connection between them. Sometimes a midlife crisis can come along, but because the couple is connected, it's an individual's midlife crisis that both of them walk through together. So it doesn't become a midlife marriage crisis unless there is a disconnection that can't be pulling the couple through because of the connection. Okay, so midlife empty nest is the disconnection when it becomes a marriage crisis. How about a marriage crisis in general? Well, that's the very heart of this. The marriage crisis comes because there is disconnection, which brings us to that last piece I've talked about in the survival series, and that is the hurts that linger. Those hurts that are still hanging on are hanging on partly because the connection level is low enough that forgiveness hasn't happened yet. And so the disconnection fuels those hurts and keeps them going. In fact, disconnection is the downward spiral of relationship after relationship. Disconnection is the central theme of any marriage crisis, because what happens is there's some level of disconnection, and then there's some problem that comes along that begins to be a struggle point. And because they're struggling through rather than connecting through it, it leads to further disconnection, which means that there's a bigger problem now brewing, and then all it's waiting is for another little crisis to come along. And a lot of times the crises that we see are a result of the disconnection. So it's a back and forth play. The deeper the disconnection, the deeper the crisis. The deeper the crisis, the deeper the disconnection, the deeper the disconnection, the deeper the crisis, and around the spiral goes. Fortunately, you can choose to change that dynamic. You can choose to move in a different direction. So disconnection is what happens when you're looking at each other going, I don't even know what's going on here. I've talked before about this pattern of intimacy that happens for many people, and it always starts with pseudo-intimacy. Pseudo-intimacy is that place where you see everything just alike. It happens in the early parts of a relationship. You like the same food, you like the same movies, same music, same everything, and you're just going, wow, I can't believe I met somebody who is so much on the same wavelength as me. And so we pretend like we see everything just alike. Somewhere along the way, something breaks loose and you realize that you're not seeing things just alike. You're seeing things from a different place, and that leads to a lot of struggle. And that struggle, that stage of struggle, can often lead to further to actual disconnection, to real disconnection, because you don't know what happened. This person and you were in such sync, and now this person is so different than you understood. And you're wondering what happened. How did they change so much? Until you realize that both of you are just seeing things from a different angle and you didn't realize it. And so in the struggle, in that conflict zone, you're trying to get the other person to see it your way, but so are they. And so two people are struggling trying to get the other person to see it back the way you think you once did, even though that never was true. Which leads to a stage called emptiness, where you just don't know what to do. So struggle looks very active. There's a lot of energy around that, sometimes a lot of anger and a lot of fighting, a lot of conflict. And then along comes emptiness, where you're just wondering what to do with this person. It just feels so hollow, and you just don't know how to move forward in your day. Both the struggle and the emptiness are what we're talking about with this disconnection. Both of them are rooted in disconnection. Here's the thing. If a couple can work through that stage of emptiness, they often find true intimacy. They recognize that they are two different individual people that bring something special to the relationship, and that what they can treasure is that difference. What they can treasure is this other person who brings a different perspective and a different viewpoint and different roles to the whole process. Unfortunately, many marriages are derailed before they can ever get to the place of understanding the magic of that true intimacy. It can be survived, though. You can survive the disconnection, and not just survive the disconnection, but on the other side of disconnection is connection. If you can make it through the conflict, if you can make it through the emptiness, you begin to see this other place. It doesn't mean you won't have disagreements, and it doesn't mean that there won't be times when you're going, what's going on here? I don't know how I got here. But you understand something else. You understand that the path back from disconnection is connection, is building connection. The problem is when there is an extreme level of disconnection, it's hard to see the path back. So let's talk about how you survive disconnection, not just survive disconnection, but actually use it as a springboard back into the relationship you want. The first thing you have to do is recognize your role. This is the time to look in the mirror and say, you know what, this is not what I want, but I'm a part of it. I have played a part. I've played a role in where we are. This is true in every relationship. Every relationship takes two people. And a lot of times people will say, you know, I didn't do that. It's not my fault. My spouse did, and they name something. And even if the spouse has taken the lead in something, remember that there is always a role you choose when you take the follow. That there is always a role to be had in a relationship. And when you have been wrapped up in that role, you have to recognize the role you've been playing. You have to recognize that space that you've been in that's been leading to that, your side of the disconnection, which leads us to step number two. You don't wait for improvement. You decide to improve it. You don't wait for the magic to happen. You don't wait for the other person to take the lead. You decide that you can take the lead, that you can make some choices along the way that begin to move you back in the opposite direction. You take it on and say, you know what? I see my role and I choose to change it. This is where we get to the algebra equation. Remember algebra? I can't tell you I'm great at math, but I can tell you I remember algebra where you're solving an equation. Whenever you change something on one side, it changes on the other side. And that's true in this. If you start moving towards disconnection, the other person starts moving towards disconnection. If they move a little further, you begin to keep the equation equal. And the opposite is true too. If you're working on connection, as you slowly begin to improve it from your side, not waiting for the other to take it on, then the connection overall begins to move in the other direction, which leads to an important third point. It's about pace. The problem with that downward spiral is it's gained momentum. And you have to slow the downward spiral and then begin to reverse it. But the danger is you try too hard. Many times people overplay their cards because when they suddenly realize there's all this disconnection, they go into panic mode. So if you're in panic mode, you have to be very careful that you're not trying to force it too hard. When I was a teenager, my parents had a station wagon. It was a blue station wagon. I remember it very well. We learned to drive on that station wagon. I remember there was a moment when my brother was driving that in the church parking lot. He was coming up to pick up my parents, and he was pulling through the church parking lot. There was a drive there right beside the parking lot, and he went from drive to reverse. He just snapped it from drive to reverse, and because of the torque at that time, it took the transmission right out. It dropped it right out because it wasn't capable of managing that sudden reversal. You know, these days you can't quite do that because the manufacturers realized that that was a risk, and so they lock you out. But back then, there was no lockout. And so as soon as he went from drive and was moving forward to reverse, he changed the momentum too fast. And you can do that in a relationship where you create so much attempt to push the other way that you create another problem. Panic in your spouse on why you're doing these things and feeling chased. And when that happens, you create another scenario that gets you into trouble. And so when you're beginning to move forward with trying to reconnect, you have to do it with pacing, which means you start slow and you slowly build up until you're gaining momentum and you're working on that reconnection. So as you're doing that pacing, and it can be frustrating, I recognize that, you have to refuse to say, well, what about me? Because sometimes when we're disconnected and we start reversing it, we're waiting for the spouse to give back the connection, to give love towards us. And that doesn't always happen immediately. So when you get stuck in that, what about me? You end up losing your own momentum. You end up losing the momentum of the relationship. You recognize that there may be a possibility that with such levels of disconnection, you have to slowly build it back and recognize it's not going to come in your direction right now. Which brings us to number five. This is a great time to consider love languages. Gary Chapman talks about this idea. I love this idea. I have an interview with him that I've linked to in the notes. But Gary Chapman came up with this idea that we have these five ways of speaking love, the five love languages. And usually couples don't have the exact same match. So each are speaking their love language, but it's not being heard by the other person. So as loudly as you're speaking, it's not being heard. And after a while, you kind of stop speaking it and you stop listening for it. This is an important time to begin to recognize the love language that your spouse is speaking so that or at least used to speak, or at least understands best, so that you can speak specifically to that love language. That's how you build back up towards that connection, knowing how to move in that direction. So think about those love languages as you're trying to get through the disconnection. And Gary Chapman and I talked about the fact that sometimes the best idea is to assume that for a certain period of time, you're not going to hear your love language. Your spouse isn't going to be asking about your love language. They don't even know that's the idea. So you're going to have to speak their love language distinctly and specifically for a while to try to get the momentum going, or as Gary says, to fill their love tank. And over time, as you're building back up that love tank, you're building that connection, which brings us to number 6. You need a plan to do this. You see, when you're building connection after being in a period of disconnection, you're also changing your habits. And whenever we change our habits, we need a plan to do it. We need something that will keep us on track. We need something that will make sure that we're continuing to move in the direction that we intend to move. Changes in habit don't happen automatically. They happen because we plan them. They happen because we stay on that plan. They happen because we intentionally choose it. You can save your relationship. You can survive the disconnection, but you have to have a plan to do it. So you want to recognize your role. Don't wait for improvement. Decide to improve it. Pace yourself, though, so you don't push too hard. Refuse to ask the question, well, what about me? As you're speaking your spouse's love language that's based in a plan that you've created. If you need help with all of that, that's kind of the heart of my program, the Save the Marriage System. It's based in rebuilding the connection. You can find out more about that at SaveTheMarriage.com. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your relationship and restore your connection.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.